Today's story is about insomnia, potato peelers, and how dressing up like an old woman might help you build a better world. It's also about me, your host, Anupam Kher. But mostly, it's about making you smile. Welcome to Anupam Cares. Chapter 5, Losing Sleep. For most of my life, my friends had a joke about me. Anupam can sleep in a crowded room, they would say. Oh, he can sleep when the music is blaring. He just has to finish a meal, and when he lies down, if you scream at him while fireworks go off in the background and a pack of wild elephants stampedes through the room, Anupam will still sleep through it all. It's true. I used to leave dinner parties early to get to bed. For decades, I was blessed with this wonderful ability to sleep. And then, one night, I don't know what happened. I finished my meal as usual, got ready for bed, closed my eyes, and my body just refused. It was the strangest thing. For the first time in my life, I couldn't sleep. Over the next few nights, I tried everything. Warm milk, evening stretches, pranayam. Finally, I started taking a low-dose sleeping pill. But even then, I would wake up in the middle of the night. So, I doubled my dose, then tripled it. And though it helped me fall asleep, suddenly my nights were filled with nightmares. One moment I was caught in a landslide, the next a flood or an earthquake. I would wake up, my heart racing, my face covered in beads of sweat. It wasn't long before my insomnia started affecting my work. On film sets, my eyes would ache from the glare of the spotlight. Can you imagine? I love the spotlight. My entire career is based on it. And here I was covering from it. But in those days, just the thought of that bright light striking my eyes made me cringe. I knew I needed help. So I went to my eye doctor, Dr. D'Souza, and I asked him if he had a moisturizer or an ointment, anything to give my poor eyes some relief. The truth is, I'm close to my doctors. We have tea together. We chat like family. So when I spoke to Dr. D'Souza, he listened both as a doctor and a friend. And then he said, Mr. Kher, please don't take this the wrong way, but I don't think you need me, an eye specialist. I think you need a psychiatrist. When I heard that, well, I don't think I have ever laughed so loudly. I said, don't you know I am the most positive person? Just look at my book, The Best Thing About You Is You. It's about optimism. I kept going. I'm a coach and a motivator by nature. Then I said, doctor, let's just focus on fixing my eyes. But Dr. D'Souza is a good friend and a good doctor. He insisted. He set me up with a psychiatrist named Dr. Savant and he implored me to make the visit. So I did. But I chuckled the whole ride because I knew there was nothing to be fixed. When I walked into Dr. Savant's office, I had a plan. I said, doctor, let's do one thing. Why don't you tell me your problems? What is a problem that is bothering you right now? If you have seen me on New Amsterdam, you know I can play a very convincing doctor. And he went along with it. He said, my wife is having a problem with her boss. I went into life coach mode immediately. I said, okay, this is the problem and this is how you solve it. I don't know what I told him, but in my mind, I was very convincing. And now I was on a roll. I asked him what other problems he had. We spoke about so many things, one after another, and I gave him terrific solutions. At the end of my visit, I hopped up and handed him my book, The Best Thing About You Is You, which I had brought with me. And I said, I think we have fixed most of your problems. But if there is anything else that's bothering you, you will find the answer in here. Then I gave him my mobile number and told him to call me if he ever needed to talk. I was being very cocky, I think. But as I started to leave, he began scribbling something in his notebook. I said, Dr. Savant, what are you writing? He said, your prescription, Mr. Kher. You are depressed. And your over-optimism is the way you escape. Now, I can talk about mental illness and the stigma we Indians have about seeing a psychiatrist. I can talk about how I became a mental health advocate. We can talk about depression because so many of us have been depressed in this COVID era. And I can tell you about how I took medicine and then weaned myself off as I learned to change my thought patterns and behaviors. But today I'm telling you this story because I want to talk about empathy. During those days, I found myself regularly moved to tears. I would see a child trying to be brave and tears would roll down my face. I would see an old man crossing the street and my eyes would water. Even when I was watching shows like India's Got Talent, I would start to tear up. So I asked Dr. Savant, Doctor, why am I so affected? He said, Mr. Kher, you suffer from radical empathy. You feel greatly for these people, but then you build up their stories in your mind and you stay awake at night carrying their problems. You have to stop making stories. Empathy is one of the skills I rely on as an actor. That ability to understand and share the feelings of another. And it's something that makes the world better. But what he said rang true. It's part of my job to observe the world. And when I see someone and try to understand them, sometimes the stories spin out in my mind. That poor child I see from my car window, I begin to wonder what his family is like. Do they have enough money for school books? Or a proper roof over their heads to shelter them from the monsoon? And I'll build out the story and carry it with me. Or I will give you a better example. I was in an elevator in New York with an elderly lady and her dog. And looking at her, I began to think, oh my God, she has no one. What a lonely person she must be. It's snowing outside and she has come out with a dog for a walk. Maybe she has lost her husband in a war and now she has to go back alone to an empty apartment. And looking at her, I was about to get teary-eyed when suddenly I blurted out, stop making stories. The woman looked at me shocked and said, excuse me? Quickly, I said, no, I'm just learning my lines. So I've been following Dr. Savant's advice. These days I feel for people without creating a narrative for them. I'm empathetic without carrying their stories. And when I rest my head on my pillow at night, my eyes close more easily and I try my level best to sleep. Speaking of empathy, I want to tell you about Patricia Moore, one of the world's greatest designers, who used an unusual trick to see the world through other people's eyes. Patricia graduated college in 1970 and landed a job with Raymond Loewy. Raymond was a big deal. His office had designed the famous Coca-Cola bottle and the Shell gasoline logo. But on Patricia's first day of work, he walked into the office and noticed something odd. Of the 350 designers, engineers and architects working there, she was the only woman. Patricia quickly learned that the men in the office never seemed to consider what life might be like for somebody who, well, wasn't like them. Everything they designed seemed to be tailor-made for able-bodied men. Like one day her colleagues were talking about how to improve the design on a refrigerator door, and they were thinking about it the same old way when Patricia felt the urge to speak up. She said, "Couldn't we design the refrigerator door so that someone with arthritis would find it easy to open?" There was silence. Then one of her colleagues said, "Patty, we don't design for those people." Patricia was furious. As she later said, "I didn't understand the hierarchy, that some people deserved good design and some people didn't. What about people in wheelchairs? What about amputees? What about the elderly? What about children?" Patricia knew that design had to be empathetic and inclusive. And the only way to make a truly great product was to understand what life is like for other people. So she decided to do something about it. Patricia, who was 26 at the time, vowed to transform into an old woman. She hired a makeup artist and was given an aged, wrinkled look. She started wearing her grandmother's old clothes and put on foggy glasses that distorted her vision. She plugged her ears so she couldn't hear and wrapped her torso in bandages, forcing her to hunch over. She even wore uneven shoes that made her hobble in pain, needing a cane. But this was more than a simple costume. Patricia wanted to understand what it was like to live in the body of an older person. From 1979 to 1982, Patricia visited more than 100 cities in North America, dressed like an old woman to see firsthand the challenges facing the elderly. She climbed stairs, walked through stores, and took public transit. She struggled with doors, can openers, and other everyday items. In some of her experiments, she needed a cane or a walker or a wheelchair. In one experiment, she even sought out what life might be like as an elderly homeless woman. When the experiment was over, Patricia detailed her findings in a book called Disguised. She was convinced that many elements of modern life needed to be changed, and changed immediately. Patricia set up her own design firm with the goal of creating products that work for everyone. Since then, her work has helped countless people do simple things, from creating one of the world's best potato peelers to building an accessible public transportation system. Today, Patricia is one of the most sought-after designers in the world. Her approach to universal design has become the industry standard. And every day she works to make a world that's more inclusive, fair, and easier for us to live in.
Floor 4. Find the gap. Doors open.
Wait. 23rd Street. Walk sign is on.
Banner 3 items. Visited. Link. Image. Home.
That's it for today. I'm Anupam Kher. Be kind to yourself and thank you for listening. Anupam Kher is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Anupam Kher. Our executive producer is Mangesh Hathikudur, senior producer Julian Weller, associate producer Morgan Lavoy, sound design and mixing by Julian Weller and Dan Bauza. Music by Aaron Kaufman. Production support from Emily Marinoff and Mary Dew. Writing by Lucas Riley, Matt Riddle, Margun Lavoy, and Julian Weller. Lucas Riley and Matt Riddle are our story editors. Thanks to Sikin Paru, Herman D'Souza, Godwin Amana, CDM Studios, Connell Byrne, and Bob Pittman.